Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather as your people this place set aside. This is holy ground, for your word has declared where two or three are gathered in your name that you will meet us. Meet us in word, meet us in sacrament, meet us together. Open our eyes that we may see you and you alone. We pray in your holy name. Amen. The gospel reading was from John. The text is going to be from the gospel according to Matthew. I'm curious, any of you who've read the Bible, read the New Testament, how many gospels are there? Four? There's one gospel, right? I know it's a little bit of a trick question, but if you look, and I want to stress it, it's not Matthew's gospel and Mark's gospel and Luke's. It's the gospel according to, a gospel according to. How many names are there for God? One. In that Great Commission, and on this Trinity Sunday, we say, or Jesus said, and we confess, all authority in heaven and earth given to me. Go. Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that I've instructed you, baptizing them into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What makes us unique is we are Trinitarian. It's essential that we are Trinitarian. We cannot deny the Trinity and remain in the fold of Christianity. The old saying is that if you try to understand the Trinity, you'll lose your mind. If you deny the Trinity, you'll lose your soul. We are Trinitarian. And what that means is in that phrase to go and be baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The word name is singular. We don't believe in three gods. We have one God in three persons. I put in the sermon notes the Trinity Sunday from the Book of Common Prayer. And I'd like us to go through this together. Would you pray this with me in unison? It's in the sermon notes. If you don't have it, speak up loudly for those that don't. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, who has given us by the confession of a true faith to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity
and the power of the divine majesty towards the unity.
Keep us steadfast in this faith
and worship,
and evermore defend us from all adversities. Bring us at last to see you in your one and eternal glory, O Father, who with the Son and the Holy Spirit live and reign one God forever and ever. Amen. So we see that we have one name. Now, when do we get that name? When do we get the name? Well, let's back it up a little bit. Let's make a comparison that Jesus did in John 3. When Nicodemus came to him, you remember Jesus said to him, you must be born again, or born from above. Now, let's think about biological birth on this day in which we celebrate fathers. When did you get your name? Not a trick question. When did you get your name? When you were
born.
And Jesus says, you must be born of water and spirit. We are given this name in baptism. As Jesus Christ himself modeled it. We saw the Trinity again when Jesus was baptized in Matthew 3. And we need to understand that this name is not a label It's not a moniker. This name is not something that we're known by. This name is something of who we are. You say, well, what does that matter? Well, it matters a great deal. When I was born, biologically, my mother and father gave me a name. They gave me a name. But I could change my name, right? I could legally go and change my name. In fact, in high school, I wanted my name changed. I wanted to be called Henry. Any of you named Henry? I wanted to be named Henry, not because I wanted anyone to call me Henry, but a guy that I just thought was cooler than he could be was named Henry Aaron. And I wanted to change my name to Henry so people would call me Hank. Now, I could change my name. But a name, biblically speaking, is far more than the moniker that you're known by. It determines and it declares who you are. See, when I was born biologically, I not only received a name from my father, I received a DNA. I received a status that I could never take away. I could change my name 100 times. But that nature, Peter tells us, that when we were born anew, glory above glories, I can't understand it, I'm just proclaiming it. We were given a new nature. We have that nature, that divine nature in us. So when John says that we're called children of God, he has a wonderful little phrase in 1 John 3:3. He says, you're called children of God, you know why? Because that's who you are. Now you say, why are you talking so much about this? It has to do with where we stand. I like to remind us often that Scripture is all about Jesus Christ. From beginning to end, it points to Jesus Christ. It doesn't tell us how to be patient. It doesn't tell us good little principles to use at work. It doesn't even tell us neat moral stories. It doesn't tell us about, you know, a particular importance to the nation of it. It tells us about Jesus Christ. So let's go back in the Old Testament. I want to tell you a story that you remember. It's a story about naming. And how naming is more than just a moniker. You remember Jacob and Esau? And their mother. And she had this idea. Because the father favored Esau. And if you've read the story, you don't blame the father. Esau was a hard-working, manly man who honored his father. And he was a hunter. And he, I mean, he was the type of guy you wanted to be around. And Jacob was smooth as skin. Jacob was a deceitful one. From the beginning, he tried to bring his twin brother back in so he could be born first. His name means deceiver. There's nothing about Jacob that I find appealing, attractive, worthy. While Esau would be the guy in school you'd want to hang around, Jacob would be the one you not only wouldn't want to be seen with, you'd hold your wallet as you were backing away. Well, the dad was about ready to die, and mom said to Jacob, her favorite, by the way, the mama's boy on top of that, said to Jacob, here's what we need to do. To get the father's blessing, go and take your brother's clothing so you'll smell like your brother. Go and take some animal skin so you'll feel like your brother. And go into the father, and you're already starting to connect the dots. And go into your father, and he won't think it's Jacob.
You'll be under. You'll be covered with the elder brother. And he loves the elder brother. And you'll get the blessings that he wants and he intends to give to his favored son.
Brothers and sisters, that's what our path is like. Our hearts deceitfully wicked. We can be squirrely. We can do things that just are heinous, desperately wicked, Jeremiah would say. That smell is repugnant to the Father. But we all approach the Father with our standing. We are under the blood of Jesus Christ. We are in the name of Jesus Christ so that when we approach the Father, He doesn't smell me. He doesn't smell you. He smells the beloved Son. So when we're baptized, we identify with the one who, when He was baptized, that Trinitarian beautiful picture of the voice of the Father and the descent of the Holy Spirit and the beloved Son. When we are baptized, we identify with that. So you think about it. You can change your name, but you can't change who you are. You are the children of God. And because of that, we can live in peace and joy. I was reading an article this past week, and it quoted Ralph Waldo Emerson. And, you know, he was known as a nature guy. He liked the solitude and quiet and whatnot. And a critic, or not a critic, end of the world apocalyptic proclaimer. You know, the ones that say the time is near. The ones that send you things going on this day, the world's going to come to an end. That's not just something we've had to endure in our century. You can go back. There have been people calling for that for years, decades, centuries. Well, this journal was reporting that someone came up to Emerson and said, "The world is coming to an end." And Emerson very calmly said, "That's okay. I can get along without it." Brothers and sisters, we have a name. Not just that which we are known by. We have a name reminding the world, reminding us of who we are. Of who we are. And it can't be taken away from you. Martin Luther said, you need to preach that gospel every day. You need to preach that every day. And the very first person that you need to remind that of is yourself. Let us stand and recite together the Nicene Creed on page 888.